Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, February 17th, 2026. As always, we begin with today's top stories. The first headline reads, East Central Illinois, gasoline prices on rise as it turns nice. This article is written by Luke Taylor, who can be reached by email at ltaylor@newsgazette.com. That's news-gazette, no space, .com. This article is based out of Champaign. With warmer weather on the forecast, at least briefly, it might be the right time for some early year travel, but gas prices are heating up too. Nationally, the average price of gasoline has risen 2.6 cents over the last week, according to GasBuddy.com's data compiled from more than 150,000 gas stations. That brings the average up to 4.9 cents higher than a month ago, though it's still 24.5 cents lower than the same time last year. While the pace of increases remains modest for now, upward momentum could accelerate in the coming weeks as refinery maintenance intensifies, and the broader transition to summer gasoline begins, said Patrick D. Hahn, head of petroleum analysis at GasBuddy. However, supply-side dynamics could temper that seasonal pressure. DeHaan also said to take geopolitical tensions, especially between the U.S. and Iran, into account as an unpredictable variable that could lead to sudden shifts in prices. Here in Illinois, the average price of a gallon of regular gas sits at 2.98, up about 12 cents from a month ago. If you're planning to take advantage of a break in the cold to hit the road, you can save some cents by finding the cheapest gas nearby. In Champaign County, Walmart is the way to go. Murphy USA in Champaign offers the lowest price at $2.61. If you have a Costco membership, you'll find the same price over at that gas station. In Douglas County, swinging through Tuscola to stop at Love's Travel Shop or Casey's is a good call, as each offer gas for $2.49. Sibley remains the best destination for gas in Ford County, with Zeal Mart offering a low price of $2.79 a gallon. That's a significant hop down from the next lowest offer in the county. Casey's in Gibson City is selling for $2.87 a gallon. Piatt County folks can swing by the Cerro Gordo Casey's or the Bement Marathon for gas priced at $2.79. In Monticello, the best bet is also Casey's, but a gallon is running a bit higher at $2.85. Casey's remains a good option over in Vermilion County, too. The Oakwood location has regular gas for $2.71 per gallon. All prices reflect GasBuddy reporting as of Monday evening. Next up, episode 24, as heard on, airing from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Thursday on WDWS, 1400 AM, and streaming online at newsgazette.com. Here's a few mentions. It was during his part-time side gig, radio analyst for his alma mater's basketball games, that the idea first struck former Illini sharpshooter Doug Altenberger. When we were doing the games back 9-10 years ago, I went to all these Big Ten schools and said to myself, Illinois is great, Champaign's great, but there's a need for a new downtown hotel. Probably a need for a couple more hotels, the developer said Monday on News Gazette Radio, come radio. So come fall 2027, the developer plans to fill that void when the long-awaited seven-story 144-room collegiate-themed Graduate by Hilton opens at the northwest corner of Hill and Neal Streets. There's going to be a first-class hotel. This is going to be a first-class hotel, said Altenberger, of a brand that's popular in other Big Ten towns, near the campuses of Indiana, Michigan, Michigan State, Northwestern, and Wisconsin. As for his other job, Altenberger weighed in on the recent trend of Big Ten coaches expressing their public disappointment with officiating. "The thing that I've seen more so than any year is the inconsistency," he said. "First half, players are beating the tar out of each other without fouls being called. Second half, the last 3 or 4 minutes, you can't even look at a guy and they're calling a foul. That's an area where we've seen a lot of frustration." Another mention, one winter night, 41 years ago, the home of the drinking Illini served as the battleground of the snowball fighting Illini on Monday's show. One of the instigators, Illini Hall of Famer, 14-year Major League catcher, and proud Oakwood Comet, Darren Fletcher, recalled the chaos around last call outside Cam's in the winter of 1985. "We went in with no snow on the ground. We came out and like a fresh 4 inches of wet snow came down within a 2-hour period. A group of myself and friends decided we were going to hide across the street at the Theta House behind the bushes, and when people were popping out, we'd kind of just slightly toss a few snowballs that way and get something going. First person out, Mike White's star quarterback. Too bad for Jack Trudeau," Fletcher said with a laugh. "I smoked him hard to the shoulder neck area, which led Trudeau to call his buddies for backup, and thus began the epic snowball fight between the baseball players and football players." Last mention, for those who haven't experienced Rod Sickler's red-hot winter spectacular, what should they expect come February 27 and 28 at the City Center? "It is Las Vegas brought to Champaign," said the namesake of Rod Sickler Salon and Spa. "I'm going to save you the flight. I'm going to save you the hotel room. It's 3 hours of adrenaline-packed entertainment. I'm bringing in 4 Cirque acts. I'm talking people you've seen on TV, headliners in Vegas, plus singers, dancers, burlesque, the comedy of Chris Hightower, Sickler, cutting models' hair, and more, and the annual fundraisers, all for a worthy cause," he added, "Aunt Martha's health and wellness." And this has been compiled by Jeff D'Alessio for the News Gazette. Next up, a photo, but the headline is Power Play, and it's of a women's basketball game. The caption reads, "Champaign Central's Kalia Williams drives to the basket while Centennial's Kalia Allen defends against her during Monday night's Class 3A Mahomet Seymour Regional Semifinal game in Mahomet." That photo is taken by Robin Scholes of the News Gazette. And there's another large photograph, center of the page, front and center, and it just says Happy New Year. And there are 2 women in traditional Asian dress of bright colors against an Asian backdrop. The caption reads, "Officially, the 15-day Lunar New Year celebration starts today, but many local Asian Americans got off to an early start, marking the Year of the Horse, according to the Chinese Zodiac, among the venues hosting events, the University YMCA, where Arena Yang of the New American Welcome Center, pictured here, assisted youth with taking keepsake photos during the Lunar New Year Multi-Traditions event. You can find more photos celebrating Lunar New Year inside in our B2 section. We'll see if we get to that today. That photo is taken by Kanitha Fay for the News Gazette. Next up, from Bob Asmussen, "Dave Downey was a really, really good guy." That's Dave, D-A-V-E, last name Downey, D-O-W-N-E-Y. This article is based out of Champaign. "To most University of Illinois basketball fans, Dave Downey was the legend who once scored 53 points in a game at Indiana. Still a school record. To his many family and friends, Dave was so much more. Dave, who passed away December 27th at age 84, was celebrated during a touching but happy ceremony Monday morning at the State Farm Center. The event opened with a pair of tunes by singer Willie Nelson, a favorite of country music enthusiast Dave. Help Me Make It Through the Night, and The City of New Orleans. Dave's son, Jay, the first of four speakers, talked eloquently and thoughtfully about his dad. He opened with a reference to the State Farm Center, where Dave closed his Illinois career in the then Assembly Hall. Dave left Illinois as the school's career scoring leader and still stands number 25. This gymnasium is very special to us and special to me. Dave's jersey hangs from the rafters, serving as a constant reminder of his basketball brilliance. I also thought back about all the games I've attended here with him going back to the mid-60s, Jay said. I've added that up to be at least 1,000 games. Boy, did we see a lot of great teams and basketball players. Basketball was only a small part of Dave's contribution to his family and community. One of the greatest lessons Dave gave us wasn't something he lectured about, Jay said. It was how he lived his life. He taught my sisters Jill and Jennifer and me, by example, to treat every person with the same dignity and respect, regardless of race or gender, which meant a lot to us. To him, people were people who deserved to be met with fairness and kindness. That really describes my father. Jay remembered Dave coming home in his 1967 Corvette, which he could hear four blocks away. I knew it would be dinner time soon, Jay said. Dave was always available to shoot hoops, have a catch, throw a football, and play ping pong and pool in the basement. Jay and Dave worked together in the insurance business for almost 30 years. He was very visionary, Jay said. He always wanted to find out what the next big thing in insurance was going to be on the cutting edge. After his dad's passing, Jay heard from an endless line of former colleagues. The common theme was he was one of the smartest people they knew, but was still humble and had a way of presenting his thoughts that didn't upset people that might be on the opposite side of the table. They all closed with, he was a very good person. Special tribute. Dave's wife, Jane, followed Jay during the event with a prayer and reading. A video was shown that included interviews done with Dave over the years. In one, Dave talked about how he got started in the game. My dad made me a hoop and he made it too small, Dave said. I spent the first several years shooting at a hoop that the ball would barely go through. Teammate Bill Small talked about Dave's style on the court. Small recalled Dave's historic game at Indiana. From the get-go, it was up and down, up and down. Dave was getting open and Dave was shooting, he said. Dave talked about the moment. For me, it was a capstone to an athletic career, he said. I knew that for one time. I had played the game as well as I could play it, and I didn't need to play any more than that. Anymore that way. The two final speakers were Dave's close friends, former U of I president Joe White and former WCIA general manager Russ Hamilton. Dave was on the search committee that recommended White to the U of I Board of Trustees. When Dave talked to me about U of I, he always put education first, including his own undergraduate and law school education, White said. He had his priorities straight. He mentioned the phrases Dave often used. How are you, Dave? Was always answered with, better than I deserve. Keep on keeping on. Sorry, I don't give advice, I only give feedback. Hamilton knew of Dave growing up. They met later in life. Dave and I hit it off immediately, Hamilton said. Within months, it seemed like we could finish each other's sentences. Dave and Hamilton talked about Monday's ceremony. What did Dave want Hamilton to say? Just tell him we were good friends, Hamilton said. I said nothing else. He said, if you have the time, tell them I was a good guy. Dave is gone, but not forgotten. I can tell you from the bottom of my heart, Dave Downey was a really, really good guy. Accepting the challenge. Dave helped support local organizations. The U of I Foundation, the United Way, the Community Foundation, the Carl College of Medicine, Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club, U of I Athletics, and the Canton Library. In 2005, Dave was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. He never complained about his situation, Jay said. He kept trying. He just never gave up. Dave was able to make it to his high school alma mater in Canton, where the court is named in his honor. Bob Asmussen is a college football reporter and columnist for the News Gazette. He can be reached by phone or email. His phone number is 217-393-8248. That's 217-393-8248. 393-8248 or by email. His email address is Asmussen, A-S-M-U-S-S-E-N at newsgazette.com. And there's one photo that's provided by the News Gazette of Dave Downey. And it looks like he's an older gentleman, and he appears to be on a radio show. He's talking into a microphone at a radio station. Next up, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. Have a milestone to share? Email J. Rosso, that's J-R-O-S-S-O-W, at CIMG.media. Congratulations to Clifford and Connie Puzy, P-U-Z-E-Y, who were crowned King and Queen of Liberty Village of Danville's Valentine's Day party. Happily married for a whopping 74 years, the Hawthorne Inn residents were the perfect choice. Their secret to wedded bliss? Go to bed happy, said Clifford, 97. Being cheerful, assuming the best intentions, and patience, said Connie, 92. They were married on August 16th, 1951, at Danville's St. James United Methodist Church, a ceremony kept secret to everyone but Clifford's aunt and her husband. They took pictures in Catlin, then drove to Indianapolis for dinner with Connie's parents before honeymooning in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Clifford won over Connie shortly after high school graduation, knowing she worked at a restaurant. I made a point to be there when they closed, said Clifford, who offered to walk her the three blocks to her home, with the restaurant owner's permission. I asked her for a date when I took her home. The rest is history. And there's a provided photo of two older people, and they're sitting, and the backdrop is red with white hearts all over the wall, kind of, and they have crowns on their head and a sash across their body, and she has a wrist corsage, and he has a corsage pinned to his shirt. So congratulations to them. History. Next up, history, area history. In 1976, Champaign-Urbana residents have been asked to support a new international boycott of Sun-Maid and Sunsweet products by the United Farm Workers Union, UFW. UFW leader Chris Cesar Chavez charged the two are the major grower organizations which caused the end of farm labor elections in California, according to Kurt Queller, member of the Champaign-Urbana Committee to support the farm workers. In 2011, a 6% reduction in state Medicaid rates would add up to a big cut for the two Provena hospitals in Urbana and Danville. Together, they stand to lose about $900,000 a year in Medicaid funds, with Provena Covenant Medical Center in Urbana projected to take the larger annual hit at $500,000, according to Deb Shimorowski, chief financial officer for both hospitals. International history, today's highlight. On February 17, 1801, the U.S. House of Representatives broke an electoral tie between Thomas Jefferson and Aaron Burr. Electing Jefferson president, Burr became vice president. On this date in 1863, five appointees of the Public Welfare Society of Geneva announced the formation of an international committee for the relief of wounded combatants, which would later be renamed the International Committee of the Red Cross. That was 1863. And in 1864, during the Civil War, the Union ship USS Housatonic was rammed and sank in Charleston Harbor, South Carolina, by the Confederate hand-cranked submarine H.L. Hunley in the first naval attack of its kind. The Hunley also sank. The next headline reads, panelists to discuss what it's like to run for public office, Champaign County League of Women Voters. This article is written by Jana Wiersema, who can be reached by email at jwiersema@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Urbana. 70% of races on November 2024 ballots were uncontested, according to Ballot Ready. The trend holds true at the local level. Of 15 Champaign County races on the ballot this year, two will be determined during the Democratic primary, and only one, the race for sheriff, will be contested in the general election. The other 12 are effectively settled with one candidate each. The League of Women Voters of Champaign County, which has observed this issue, is holding a virtual event to inform community members who might consider throwing their hats in the ring during future elections. Is now the time for you to run for public office? Is set for 7 p.m. February 25th. A Zoom link for the free public event is available at lwvchampaigncounty.org, and a video will be posted to the same site after the fact. During the virtual panel, three local women who have been elected to public office will discuss their experiences. Rantoul Village Board Member Regina Kreider, Champaign County Board Chair Jenny Locke, and Champaign City Council Member Vanna Pianfetti. There will also be a time for questions. The League of Women Voters of Champaign County encourages civic engagement at all levels of government, said program moderator Peggy Patton, who previously served on Urbana's school board from 2009 to 2021. Public service is a rewarding way to make a difference. The next headline reads, General Assembly. Pritzker to present budget as state faces federal funding uncertainty. Democrats seeking new taxes while Republicans call for limiting spending. Daddy? Did you go see Daddy? Again, from General Assembly, Pritzker to present budget as state faces federal funding uncertainty, Democrats seeking new taxes while Republicans call for limited spending. This article is written by Ben Zielinski for Capital News Illinois. They can be reached at news@capitalnewsillinois.com. This article is based out of Springfield. Governor J.B. Pritzker will stand in front of the General Assembly on Wednesday in a familiar position, confronting tremendous uncertainty over the state's financial future. Pritzker will present his eighth budget as he seeks re-election to a rare third term and becomes a growing national presence as a possible 2028 presidential candidate and one of President Donald Trump's loudest critics. The Trump administration has put Illinois and other states whose leaders disagree with his vision in the crosshairs, targeting them for massive cuts to federal funding. In the last 2 months alone, that has included a $1 billion child care funding cut that's temporarily been blocked by the courts and $100 million in threatened health care funding cuts. At the same time, the economy has been shaken by Trump's tariff policies, and Congress passed a sweeping domestic policy bill known as the One Big Beautiful Bill Act that will alter the fiscal landscape for states across the country. That measure cuts eligibility for Medicaid and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, increases administrative costs, and reduces what the state can collect in provider taxes. The ever-changing federal funding landscape presents lawmakers and Pritzker with a murky picture of the future, one that can change as fast as the president can send a social media post or a judge can issue a restraining order. But the state constitution requires lawmakers to pass a balanced budget, and Pritzker will outline his plan for one on Wednesday. His annual budget address sets up months of negotiations, mostly between supermajority Democrats. They'll try to balance their desires to fund programs while revenues, both from the feds and the state's base sources, are projected to flatten at best. Representative Cam Buckner, a top House Democrat budget negotiator from Chicago, said one of the goals of this year's budget will be to play defense. It's hard when the biggest variable in the budget is not something that you can control, he said, referring to federal funding. And with this president, the volatility isn't a possibility, it's a given. Pritzker and his team have already started setting expectations from a conservative budget, or for a conservative budget, telling agency leaders in memos and signaling to legislators that it will be difficult for the state to fulfill funding requests this year. And there is a photograph of Pritzker speaking in the Capitol. The caption reads, Governor J.B. Pritzker will deliver his State of the State and Budget Address on Wednesday before the General Assembly at the Illinois State Capitol in Springfield. That photo is taken by Andrew Adams for Capitol News Illinois. It's a file photo, and this is again from Capitol News Illinois. The next headline reads, from the Village of Mahomet, Board Weighing Engineering Contract for Pickleball Courts. This article is written by Jana Wiersema, who can be reached by email at jwiersema@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Mahomet. Village officials hope to have bid documents for new pickleball courts, along with an estimated price tag for the project, in their hands by this summer. The Village Board will discuss a proposed contract with Farnsworth Group, Inc. for construction design services on the project at 13 Acres Park during tonight's study session. Formal action will not be taken during the meeting. This project aligns with the Parks and Recreation Master Plan and responds to demonstrated community demand for additional pickleball amenities, Parks and Recreation Director Dan Waldinger said in a report to the board. Plans include four pickleball courts, lighting, drainage improvements, and a parking lot. According to the proposed agreement, the firm is expected to put together construction documents for the project, along with a cost estimate by June 1st. The maximum contract amount is $43,500, plus reimbursable expenses. Village officials have tentatively estimated that construction on the project could begin by 2027 and be completed that same year. Waldinger said in a previous interview that this will be contingent on getting funding secured for the project. One moment. Let's see. One moment. Sorry about that, I lost my place. Mahomet's Park and Recreation Department offers a summer, fall, and winter leagues, offers winter leagues for pickleball with different levels such as competitive, fun, intermediate, and junior for ages under 18. The deadline to register for summer leagues is April 28th. The master plan for 13 Acres Park, which was adopted in 2023, also includes concepts for a playground, paths, parking, and additional athletic facilities, Waldinger wrote. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, February 17th, 2026. As always, it's a pleasure to read with you, and I'll be back shortly to read part two of the News Gazette, so please stay with me. Thanks for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.